We read Holy Scripture tonight from Matthew chapter 27. Matthew chapter 27. I suppose the text is verses 11 through 26. The focus is going to be on the choice of Barabbas by the people of Israel and the rejection of Jesus Christ. And there are many details recorded here that we won't focus on or deal with very much, but that's our focus. And so we're going to read verses 11 through 31. 11 through 31 of Matthew chapter 27. And Jesus stood before the governor, that's Pilate, and the governor asked him, saying, "Art thou the king of the Jews?" Jesus said unto him, "Thou sayest." And when he was accused of the chief priests and elders, he answered nothing. Then said Pilate unto him, "Hearest thou not how many things they witness against thee?" And he answered him to never a word, insomuch that the governor marveled greatly. Now at that feast the governor was wont to release unto the people a prisoner whom they would. And they had then a notable prisoner called Barabbas. Therefore, when they were gathered together, Pilate said unto them, "Whom will ye that I release unto you, Barabbas or Jesus, which is called Christ?" For he knew that for envy they had delivered him. When he was set down on the judgment seat, his wife sent unto him, saying, "Have thou nothing to do with that just man, for I have suffered many things this day in a dream because of him." But the chief priests and the elders persuaded the multitude that they should ask Barabbas and destroy Jesus. The governor answered and said unto them, "Whether of the twain will ye that I release unto you?" They said, "Barabbas." Pilate saith unto them, "What shall I do then with Jesus, which is called Christ?" They all say unto him, "Let him be crucified." And the governor said, "Why? What evil hath he done?" But they cried out the more, saying, "Let him be crucified." And when Pilate saw that he could prevail nothing, but that rather a tumult was made, he took water and washed his hands before the multitude, saying, "I am innocent of the blood of this just person. See ye to it." Then answered all the people and said, "His blood be on us and our children, and on our children." Then released he Barabbas unto them, and when he had scourged Jesus, he delivered him to be crucified. And then the soldiers of the governor took Jesus into the common hall, and gathered unto him the whole band of soldiers, and they stripped him, and put on him a scarlet robe. And when they had plaited a crown of thorns, they put it upon his head, and a reed in his right hand. And they bowed the knee before him and mocked him, saying, "Hail, King of the Jews." And they spit upon him, and took the reed, and smote him on the head. And after that they had mocked him, they took the robe off from him, and put his own raiment on him, and led him away to crucify him. Thus far we read the Word of God tonight. May God bless the reading of His Word. As I said, I call your attention especially to verses 11, or rather actually verse 15 through 26. Tonight we reflect upon the suffering and the death of our Lord Jesus Christ. Good that we do this so that we remember that this was a real event. This really happened. Lord Jesus Christ was betrayed by one of his own disciples. He was arrested by the Jews. He was put on trial. He was nailed to a cross. And he was crucified. And he really did die. He really did suffer the wrath of God for sin. He really did save his people that night. And tonight we reflect on the suffering that Jesus endured, specifically when the people coldly rejected him in favor of the notorious criminal Barabbas. Tonight we consider our Lord Jesus Christ as he was rejected by his own people in favor of a murderer and a thief. And so tonight, let's consider Barabbas released, Jesus crucified. Barabbas released, Jesus crucified. Or we could say Barabbas chosen, Jesus rejected. Barabbas favored, Jesus hated. And we're going to examine, first of all, that wicked choice of the people. The wicked choice of the people in doing this. And then we're going to examine the sovereign will of God. This was according to God's will. And then thirdly, the gospel significance for us. Barabbas released, Jesus crucified. The scriptures record for us in some detail, and it would be well for you to read the events of Jesus' trial. The scriptures give us much detail. Give us much detail for many reasons about Jesus' trial. But the scriptures record much detail about the trial of Jesus for this reason. To show that Jesus was universally condemned and rejected. Began with Annas. Jesus was tried before that high priest, and there he was rejected and condemned. Then he was brought to Caiaphas, and Jesus was rejected before Caiaphas too. He was condemned. And then he was brought to the governor Pilate, who, as we see in the scripture reading tonight, was very, very hesitant to reject Jesus, didn't want to. So then he sent Jesus to Herod. We didn't read about that in Matthew, but you can read about that in the other gospel accounts. And Herod rejected Jesus. And then Jesus was brought back to Pilate. And Pilate, even though he was hesitant, ultimately did choose to reject Jesus. But what we have recorded for us in the text is something very peculiar. The people, the nation of Israel, was given the opportunity to say something about Jesus, to render a verdict, to stand in judgment about the Lord Jesus Christ. That's somewhat unusual, somewhat peculiar, because in the courtroom it's the judge and the jury who stand in judgment, not the people who are watching the trial. They do not have opportunity to render a verdict. But this takes place in the text. And what happens here again, Jesus is rejected. We need to understand the wickedness of that. When you look at this text tonight and you read about Barabbas, perhaps the first thing you think of is, he was a wicked man. You know that well from your Bible stories. Little children. And we will look at his wickedness. But do not look at this text and say the wicked person in this text who really stands out is Barabbas, that man who was chosen instead of Jesus. Then you don't understand the text. In this text, the wickedness that we must see and focus on and see that is it is emphasized by the Word of God tonight is the wickedness of the people of rejecting the Lord Christ. That's the worst sin that a man could commit. That's the most wicked crime of human beings. They reject Jesus Christ. And as I said, the text tonight specifically speaks of the rejection of the people. They're given opportunity to render a verdict and stand in judgment over Jesus. Pilate is following a custom, Matthew tells us. The custom at the Passover, where the ruler gives to the people the choice to release a prisoner. Seems to be a rather foolish custom, one that subverts justice, one that allows the people to release a known criminal, but that was the custom. And so Pilate, not wanting to condemn Jesus, even we can see in these verses in Matthew, hoping to convince them to release him, he brings the choice to the people, and it's as if Pilate goes into the prison that he has there, and he looks for the worst criminal he can find, because he wants to make a clear choice for the people. Are you going to release Jesus or this criminal? And he doesn't want a petty thief, a petty criminal, because he knows they hate Jesus right now. And maybe if a man is guilty of small crimes, they'll choose him. But Pilate, it's as if he finds the most wicked man he could find, the most depraved man he could find, and says, here's the choice. And so Pilate really isn't following the custom. The custom was to let the people choose. Pilate says, I'm going to limit it. It's Barabbas or Jesus. Even though Pilate encouraged the people to take Jesus Christ and release him, they are insistent. Release Barabbas. Give us the murderer. Crucify Jesus Christ. And in rejecting Jesus all by itself, the people commit a horrible, horrible sin. Even in the Roman government, which was known for its justice and its fine legal system, and even in our own country, people of the world understand that it's a horrible injustice to condemn an innocent man. That's really the argument that people make for getting rid of capital punishment. We don't want to put anyone to death for a crime, because while we may put some guilty men to death, we never want to put an innocent man to death. Now, whether or not that's good logic is not our concern tonight, but the point is that people recognize that condemning an innocent man is horrible injustice. That's what happened. The trial, read through it and consider it, of Jesus in every single detail is recorded in so much detail, in part for that purpose, to show that Jesus was the righteous servant of Jehovah God, the sinless servant of Jehovah. They couldn't find anything against him. They practically begged and pleaded with people. Come, lie for all we care. Bear false witness. Break the ninth commandment. Go ahead, but come and accuse him of a crime so that we can murder him. And they couldn't even do it. They could not bring testimony against the Lord Jesus Christ. Pilate also, as is well known, and as I've already mentioned, makes very, very clear, this man was a just man. Find nothing wrong with him. And why would you kill him? He gave the Jews, as they stood in judgment over Jesus, Pilate says, you're going to judge him. You may judge him. Now give me the ground for the charge. Give me the ground for the punishment that you're going to crucify him. And they had nothing to say. Not one thing. The only response is crucify him. Crucify him. They were so hardened in their wickedness and unbelief. That's bad enough to condemn an innocent man. And even, as I said, the world understands that that's wicked. But worse than that, in this instance, is that they were condemning the Son of God. They were condemning the Messiah, the Christ. Pilate calls him that. Do you want this Jesus, the Christ? It's as if God, through Pilate, was throwing it in their face. This is the anointed one. You're condemning him to death. The Son of David, the Son of God, the Ancient of Days. That was horribly wicked. But what was added, what happened in addition to all of that, to magnify the wickedness of the people in rejecting Jesus, is that they chose to release Barabbas. Bad enough that they reject the righteous Son of God, but worse, it makes very clear that they had no intention to see that justice was served. And what makes very clear that they had every intention to subvert justice and to render a wicked verdict is that they let go Barabbas. What specifically did he do, this Barabbas? The Scriptures don't tell us. The Scriptures describe him. And this is the point. The Scriptures make sure that we know that the people there could not claim ignorance, could not claim we didn't know that this Barabbas was so bad. They knew. Matthew calls him here a notable criminal. The word we would perhaps use today is famous. He was a famous criminal. He was a man who today would have been on the TV news. And his name would have been broadcast on the radio. A man who committed insurrection. Somehow he sought to cause a rebellion to arise. And he was famous for that. And then Luke and Mark tell us he was a murderer. He was famous for that. John tells us he was a robber. People knew this. Yet when Pilate says, "You want Barabbas or Jesus?" as a sign, as an indication of the wickedness of their hearts, "Give us Barabbas. Crucify Jesus," they say. This speaks, as I said, of the power of sin. This speaks of the wickedness of the human heart. This speaks of the wickedness of the people there, the people of the nation of Israel. But now as we look at this description of this rejection of Jesus by Matthew, we have to understand Matthew was writing to the Jewish people. Not Mark, not Luke, not John. Matthew was. And it's striking that Luke and Mark and John all speak of this. The choice of Barabbas, the rejection of Jesus, but you can look this up. Matthew has the longest record of this. It's as if Matthew is saying, we have Abraham for our father. We had the Old Testament Scriptures. We had the prophets. We rejected Jesus Christ. And then the conclusion that's very easy to draw from that. So is the case with all men by nature. Every single human heart is hardened. Every single human heart is offended by the Lord Jesus Christ. No man will receive Him but by the grace of God. And so the sin of choosing Barabbas is not a sin that was committed one time and rejecting Jesus. That sin was not committed one time that night when Jesus was crucified. But we have to understand tonight the wickedness of the people there is the wickedness of people yet today. This is the sin of those who reject the gospel, who turn their backs on the gospel of Jesus Christ in unbelief. They will not embrace Jesus Christ by faith. But they are the ones that the Apostle Paul says in 1 Corinthians are offended. They stumble over Jesus and reject Him. That wickedness happens on the mission field. It happens even in the church. when the gospel is preached and men say, we don't want that Jesus Christ. We hate him. They reject him. That's the wickedness of choosing Barabbas and rejecting Jesus yet today. But this is humbling for all of us. It ought to be humbling for you and me too. For though we can say by God's grace, and it's only by God's grace, we have not rejected the gospel. We have not turned away from Jesus Christ, refused to believe in him, and the blindness and the hardness of our hearts because God has softened us. Yet we sin, do we not? And what are we doing when we sin? The sin is pride. Sin is, in light of the text, sin is choosing self over Jesus Christ. Sin is choosing me and my desires and my flesh and my lusts and not Jesus Christ and his commandments and doing his will. That means that whenever we choose ourselves and choose sin, we are choosing Barabbas. Oh yes. We are Barabbas. Not guilty of murder, perhaps, not guilty of insurrection, not guilty of robbery, but guilty of having the same sinful nature, murderous sinful natures, we could even say. Horribly wicked natures. And we yet sin. We choose ourselves and reject Jesus Christ. And so the wicked choice of the people, it's not a choice that was made just that day, but it's a wicked choice we yet make today. The people made a wicked choice. But this rejection of Barabbas, or rejection of Jesus, and choosing of Barabbas was according to the will of God. We understand this does not take away the responsibility of those who reject Jesus Christ. This does not in one way remove any guilt from Pilate or Herod or the chief priests or the people. This does not in one way take away the guilt of those who reject the gospel of Jesus Christ today. And yet, the rejection of Jesus and the choosing of Barabbas happened according to God's will. The whole trial, I said one purpose of Scripture recording the whole trial in all of its details for us is to show us Jesus was innocent and that all men condemned him. But the trial also is recorded in Scripture for this purpose, that we may see the sovereign hand of God guiding all of the events surrounding the death of our Savior. The release of Barabbas, a horrible sinner, was God's will. And the rejection and crucifixion of Jesus, the perfect Son of God, was God's will. God meant it. God planned it. God carried it out through this trial. And this is not a surprise to us who know the Old Testament Scriptures. It's not a surprise to us because God said the Messiah is going to come. He's going to come in human flesh. The Messiah is going to come to save my people. And what did God say about him in Isaiah 53, a passage we reflect upon on Good Friday? Speaks about the suffering of Jesus Christ. God said he will be rejected of men. And Isaiah 53 is very pointed. It expressed that Jesus would be rejected by the Jews. For Isaiah says, we did this. We esteemed him not. We despised him. We rejected him. And so, this was according to prophecy. Prophecy was fulfilled When Barabbas was chosen, the word of God came to pass. God's will was done. And Jesus' rejection and Barabbas' release. But there's more. As we look at what happened and see that God's will was done, we see that God conducted this trial, and God even pronounced His verdict at this trial. The whole world stood on trial when Jesus was tried. You perhaps know this, but it's good to be reminded of that. Why all these different people? Why did Jesus have to be tried by the priests, and then Herod, and then Pilate, and then even the people? It was because God was trying the whole world. There were many different people who were represented by all of these different groups. Pilate was a Roman, a Gentile. We could add to that the soldiers of Pilate, they were Gentiles. They rejected Jesus. The chief priests, the office bearers rejected Jesus. That's a group of people. The church, the official church rejected Jesus. But then the people, the congregation did too. Why? Part of the reason was so that God could make very, very clear at the death of Jesus Christ, the whole world is guilty before me. This is my verdict as I stand as judge. Pilate is not ultimately the judge. The chief priests are not the judges. The people do not ultimately sit in judgment. But I, Jehovah God, I sit in judgment. And in this trial of Jesus Christ, God said, I'm putting you on trial and asking this question, putting this question to you. What do you think? My Son, Jesus Christ. And when we see that all men rejected Him, that was God saying, let the whole world see and know that all men are guilty before me. Let every mouth be stopped. But God was not only conducting a trial in which He was trying the whole world and the human race, God was in fact putting His own Son on trial. In fact, when God sovereignly caused the people to reject Jesus Christ, God spoke in that judgment. When Pilate judge Jesus Christ, God spoke. This is a fact that is explained to us in the Heidelberg Catechism. When we make confession that Jesus was crucified under Pontius Pilate, the Catechism asks, why did Jesus need to be condemned by him? And the Catechism explains, so that he could be condemned by an earthly ruler, but the Catechism points to the fact that Jesus was righteous, that he being righteous would be condemned. So that through Pilate, God was speaking and saying about Jesus Christ, He's righteous. He's innocent. And that's God's judgment. And that's the only judgment that matters. But yet, when men condemned Jesus, God spoke then too. God said, crucify him. God said, release Barabbas, release the murderer, release the guilty thief. Crucify my Son, Jesus Christ. We're not surprised by this either, because the Old Testament also told us about this. In Isaiah 53, yes, men rejected him, Isaiah says. God bruised him. God made the offering of Jesus Christ's soul for sin. God said, as He laid upon Him the iniquity of us all, crucify Him. You see, there's those two things that God said in that trial. He's innocent. In Himself, He has done no wrong. But yes, it is right for Him to be crucified only in this way, because God took the iniquity of us all and laid it on Him. And God said, crucify Him. And Jesus heard that. As we think about the suffering of Jesus tonight, on that Friday when He was nailed to the cross, one aspect of that was He heard the world say, we hate You. And He suffered under that rejection. But more, He heard the voice of God. He heard God say, crucify Him. He said, He heard God say, you are condemned to death. He heard God say, yes, you need to go to the cross and you need to suffer the eternal agony of hell. He even heard God say, I reject you. And we know He heard God say that. When He said, my God, my God, why hast Thou forsaken Me? Jesus knew the Old Testament. He knew what God had prophesied. He knew the will of God. And on that Friday night, He experienced God saying, crucify Him. That's the way it has to be. Crucify Him for the sins and the salvation of my people. And there you see the gospel significance. Barabbas released. Jesus crucified. God said, release Barabbas. Release the notoriously, famously wicked man. And crucify my son. And that was for salvation from sin. For Barabbas personally, that's a question we might ask. Did Barabbas know? Did he believe? Did he say to himself, I was let go so that he could die for me? Maybe he did. He certainly had to think about this and contemplate this reality, because he knew, I deserve to die. I murdered. I robbed. I caused rebellion. I know that I am wicked and deserve to die. And he knew that man who died instead of me, who was crucified when I was released, he wasn't nearly as guilty as me. He knew that for sure. And he probably even knew he was innocent. It should have been me that was crucified. And I wasn't. And so, considering that later on, it may have been that Barabbas was converted, that he came to faith, and that this was for his salvation. That may have been only, of course, if the Lord had opened his heart, because that's the only way that a man receives salvation. But that's not in the text. The text does not tell us about Barabbas personally. But this is the confession that we must make tonight. As we put ourselves in the place of Barabbas, and we can and we should do that, and in light of the fact that we know that we are sinners, we can say, it should have been us. And if we would be asked, in light of what we know, you or Christ, we would have to say, crucify us. We are the guilty ones. We deserve to die. Release him. And we know even more than that, we know that this is what God could say. In light of what we know about our sin and how our sins multiply. Guilty, not loving husband, not loving wife, guilty of sins of the tongue, guilty of sins of the heart, of the mind, of lust, wicked thoughts. We're guilty. God could say, He could say, crucify Jesus? No. He's righteous. Crucify you and send all of you to hell. But you see the gospel. God said, no, it has to be this way. Release the sinner. Let my people go. Let them be free. Crucify my own son. Let the sheep go, but sacrifice the lamb. That's the gospel significance of the text tonight, beloved. God says to you, Barabbas, go free. Jesus died for you, for your salvation. Amen. Father in heaven, we thank Thee for the gospel, for good news for sinners, sinners such as we, who have the knowledge living in our hearts, and we make that confession to Thee tonight. We're no better than Barabbas, chief of sinners, deserving not merely of the physical pain of being nailed to a cross, but deserving of the eternal, soul-destroying punishment of hell. How thankful we are that it's Thy word to us that we are released, and that Thou didst crucify and condemn Thy Son in our place. We pray that Thou wilt make that gospel live in our hearts so that we may praise and thank Thee in song now, but also in the way that we live. Hear us for Jesus' sake. Amen.